Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachem Daf Ayin Hey. We begin on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Kachim bekachim, min b'minoi chul. Mishnah speaks about two karbanos. So it was my oila with your oila. Mixed up. Don't know who's whose. No problem. If they're the same type of carbon, tell the kohen to just process them as, both of them as carbon oila, and Hashem knows who's to who, and we're both credited with our carbon. Now the question is, v'boi smicha, what about smicha? We forgot about smicha, which requires the actual owner. The owner and nobody else can do this. Lean on the carbon, confess. Well, that's only when we know who's whose. You can't just do smicha on both to cover, all possibilities. Why? Because smicha technically is like using the carbon. You're leaning on it. You can't do that unless you're absolutely confident that this is your carbon and this is the required smicha. So how could we process these carbones without smicha? Amar Rav Yosef, you're right, b'karban nashim. Apparently the Mishnah is speaking about strictly karbanos owned by women, which never require smicha. The Pasuk says, Dabar al b'nei Yisrael, only b'nei Yisrael, not b'nois Yisrael. So in any case, these karbanos are smicha free. Aval b'karban anashim loy, says the Gemara, but if these are karbanos owned by men, which require smicha, which can't be done, we have no solution for those? Unless we let them, get a blemish and then transfer the condition. You can't just process them as you would. Your typical carbon, really? Esvei Abaye. Comes Abaye with a kash. We have a brisa which seems to indicate that even a mix-up involving men's carbones can be processed as usual. Brisa speaks about a carbon yachid. Some say chatos yachid. Okay, so it's my chatos with your chatos. Chatos yachid or carbon yachid, shenis arab carbon yachid, private carbon with another private carbon, or we have a mix-up between two public carbones, the carbon tzibur shenis arab, right? So carbon yachid shenis arab carbon yachid, or the carbon tzibur shenis arab carbon tzibur, or the carbon yachid the carbon tzibur shenis arab zebze, or private chatos got mixed up with a public chatos. Now we know that a chatos has a unique blood application process. You need to apply, four matones, one on each corner of the mizbeach. That's what you do here too. Noisim dalad matones mikol echad ve'echad. Although you no longer know whose owns whose, which carbon is owned by whom, doesn't matter. Process each carbon individually the way you do your standard carbon. Noisim dalad matones mikol echad ve'echad. Each carbon gets its four matones. Four applications on the four corners of the mizbeach. Of course, if you only did one per carbon, it passes, as we learned back in the Aflamid Vav, right? Preferably you do four, but the Yevet even one's enough. Likewise, if you did four, Rashi says, Shtayim matane shein arba, means to say that he did, instead of four separate, he did, one on each corner and two on the opposite corners. So it's like two, which turns into four because it splits into the four. So, okay, whatever it is, even though he didn't do the preferred method of matana, yatsa, it works. Bameh devar mamur, when do we say that each carbon is processed fully and properly? So you do, four matanes per carbon, shinus arvu chayin. When the mix-up occurred while the animals were alive. Okay, so then you process each one individually, as we said. Aval nisarvu shechutin, but let's say the mix-up occurred after shechita. Rashi explains, what we mean to say is that the blood literally, physically, got all mixed into the same container. We have a huge container with a huge mix containing, blood of both carbones. Do we have to do individual separate applications? No, just do one process on this. Process this blood as you would any carbon chatas, and you covered both carbones. by applying this blood, which contains both Karbanis' blood, by applying it properly, you've covered both. Noisen arba matonis mikula. You do four matonis from this collective blood. If you did it only once, it's okay. Because b'deavad one's enough. Rabbi Omer, hold it, you have to be careful. Make sure there's enough. Be generous when you apply the blood. Make sure there's enough there, which will contain a little bit of each carbon. You can't just do a tiny speck, a tiny droplet. You have to ensure that in that application, there's some of this carbon and some of that carbon. You have to evaluate the application of blood. There's enough in there to accommodate both from this and from that, then you're good. Otherwise, psula. Okay, that's the price. Let's go back for a second. We discussed various confusions, various mix-ups. Private carbon with another private carbon. Public carbon. We assume that the private carbon discussed is similar in nature to the public carbon. Presumably, it's in the same, you know, discussion. Matzibu gavri, af yachad gavri, just as the public carbon belonging to the nation belongs to the males as well. Assumingly, the private carbon that we speak of here as well is one owned by men. Apparently, that's not going to get in the way. It's not an impediment. How not? What happened to smicha? How could you process a carbon without smicha? Right? So if the carbon owned by the men got mixed up, you don't know who owns which. You can't do smicha. Amar Rava, says Rava like this. Let's re-examine the brisa of a tisbra. Do you really think that this brisa was worded properly? It's inherently confusing. Look at the brisa. The tani, look, take a look at the brisa. Bamedva Mamurin brisa says, when do we say that each carbon is processed separately? When the mix-up occurred during their lifetime, animals. But if the mix-up occurred after shchita, which can also mean that their blood had been collected in separate glasses, now the kohen mixed them up. He no longer recalls which container belongs to which carbon, but they're still in separate, distinct containers. Avnas aver shchutim, but if the mix-up occurred after shchita, then we deal with them differently. You no longer process them separately. Why? Why not? Mali chayim, mali shchutim. Look, if they're still separate, who cares if the mix-up occurred during their lifetime and then they were processed separately with separate containers, or the mix-up occurred after shchita? They were already processed, they were already collected separately. So still, proceed normally. Just take each container and process it separately, four batones, etc. Elohi kamar. Rather, the brisa must mean like this. We're not speaking about live animals that got mixed up. No, while they were alive, we knew exactly whose animal, which animal belongs to whom. There's no issue during their lifetime. And of course, the smicha proceeded as usual. The whole confusion occurred after shechit. And we have two levels of confusion, two variations of what may have happened after shechit. One would be that, you shechted them separately. Kabbalah took place separately. And then the kohen forgot which glass, which container belongs to whom. But they're still separate. In this case, you take each glass, each container, and do a separate matana, right? As you would any other carbon. Versus a case where for some reason, all the bloods got mixed into the same container. So they were physically mixed together, literally, into one container. Then you just take this collective collection, and you do one processing to it, and you've covered both animals within it. So the rice is speaking about two mix-ups which occurred after Shechita only. But of course, if it occurs before Shechita, then there's another issue to address, which is a smicha. And you can only proceed if they're owned by women, where smicha is not an issue. Okay? Hachik elachik amar, rather the brisa must mean like this. When will each carbon get its own blood application process? The mix-up occurred after Shechita, but they're like alive, which means to say, mekaisis. they're in separate containers. As though they were got mixed up during their lifetime, which means to say that they're separate entities. It's just, you know, the identities got mixed up. So in this case, each class, each container, goes separately. However, here comes the next type of case where somehow all the bloods came into the same container. They're physically united. So in this case, Noisin Dal Matanos Lekulon, he takes this collection and does four matanos, assuming that he'll, you know, be addressing both supplies within this, you know, both karbanos will be accommodated. V'mnasim matanachs Lekulon Yatzah, if he did one application, as we said, by Echatas, one is enough. Rabbi Omer, just make sure that you apply it generously. Right? There should be enough in this matana to contain a bit of each carbon. Ruinas a matana, you evaluate the matana. If there's enough in there for both, then it's fine. But otherwise, psula. Asks the Gemara, you mean there's a prescribed minimum amount for matana? A droplet doesn't work? Does Rebbe really hold that there's a prescribed minimum which constitutes a matana, and therefore you have to make sure there's enough for two mat, right? There's enough, you know, quantity there to be considered a matana for each carbon. V'atani, we have a brisa regarding the spraying of the paraduma water. A similar idea of applying and spraying. And there Rebbe clearly says that according to Rebbe Lazar over there, even a minuscule droplet is enough. There's no minimum requirement to be considered hazo'ah. So actually, Rashi explains we're speaking about the water of the paraduma that got mixed up with regular water. So what do we do? Very simple. Watani Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says, who says, just use it in any case. Even though you know there's some ordinary faulty water mixed in there, it doesn't matter. As long as you get some, even a drop of the proper water, you're okay. Even a droplet of the hazo works. There's no prescribed amount. Even if within the spray, you know, part of it is okay, part of it, that's okay. Presumably, the same thing with hazo and the sin of dam. So why do we have to dwell on the amounts and the quantities? Even a drop is enough. Right? You got a drop of this curvature out of that. Why do we have to speak about kedainis? When Rebbe was drawing these conclusions regarding the paraduma water, that was with respect to Rebbe Lezer's shita, but he himself didn't hold of it. He held that you have to have a substantial amount to be considered hazo. Another answer could be given. Hazo luchud, nesin luchud. Yeah, that's by hazo. There's no shir, but by nesin of blood, Rashi says there's a minimum requirement. What's the minimum? Says Rashi, about 6-7 lines from the top, he says, Tzorach shir, sheiroa adam l'shtei ruchos, hakeren shel mizbeah. When you put it on the corner, it's got to be noticed on both. There has to be enough there that could be noticed going in both directions of that corner. And you need that amount of each carbon. So when you take this collective blood and do matana, make sure you do a generous offering that will suffice and provide a shear for each one of those two carbonis in this mix. Okay, so Mishnah spoke about two carbonis of the same type mixing up, process them individually, for the sake of their respective owners. What happened to smicha? The answer is karban nashim, which doesn't need smicha. And we spoke about chatas and chatas getting mixed up. If it happened later on with the bloods, then we do one collective application, according to Rebbe, just to ensure there's enough for each one. This arva b'b'char b'maser. Okay, next case in the Mishnah, final mix-up, it involves let's say my oila getting mixed up with your bechor, firstborn kosher animal, which is meant to be a carbon, or your maser behema, the tenth, one of ten, which is also meant to be a carbon. If it's unblemished, and once it gets blemished, you eat it as a regular animal, almost like a regular animal. You don't actually go and sell it in the marketplace or weigh it on the scale. You know, you do it honorable with dignity. So in any case, my oila gets mixed in with your bechor. Mishnah says, what do? We, you know, let them run around, get a blemish, and then I set aside some money for my new oila, my replacement oila. I transfer the kedusha from my blemished oila, wherever he is amongst this mix, onto this new money. I buy a new oila, and the rest of the animals are consumed as though they are bechor or maser, you know, with according to the system that applies to a blemished Bechorim Maser, which, as we explained, doesn't allow the owner to sell it on the marketplace, to weigh it on a scale. If he decides to sell, it has to be done discreetly, not commercially, to maintain the dignity of that carbon. The Bechor is eaten by a Kain, and the Maser by Yisrael. Amar Rami Bar Chama. There are some halachas that apply to a Bechor. What about a Tamura of a Bechor? Tamura typically involves a fellow who takes a regular animal, puts it near the carbon, and he says, well, I want the Kedusha of the carbon to be extended onto this one. This is sort of an exchange. Not meant to do it, but if you do it, the Tamura attains some level of Kedusha. And the question is, how close to the original does he become? We have specific, limitations and restrictions and halachas that apply to the actual Bechor, the original Bechor. Do they apply to the Tamura as well? So for instance, in terms of who can consume a Bechor, halacha is that according to Beis Shammai, a woman who's a nida cannot eat a Bechor, even if it's a blemished Bechor. Does that apply to the Tamura as well? We know that a Bechor cannot be weighed on a scale, like we explained. What about the Tamura? We know that a Bechor, even after he gets a mum, you can't redeem him. There's no redemption for Bechor. What about the Tamura of a Bechor? Okay? Amram Bechama. Bechor the Beis Shammai, ein machil nidas. The original Bechor, according to Beis Shammai, you can't feed it to nidas. What about the Tamura of that Bechor? Tamura say mao. Next question. Bechor ein nifta, there's no padiyah, there's no redemption by Bechor. Tamura say mao. What about the Tamura? Bechor ein ishkal belitri, you can't weigh the Bechor and sell it, the way you typically do. Tamura say mao. What about the Tamura? Amar Rava. We have a Braisa which resolves this issue. Tanya, the Braisa says, yep, the Tamura has the same status as the original with respect to these halachis. Tanya, Bechor, Maser, Meshahum, Mo'is, and Tamura. Even after they get a mum, they still have that residual holiness that they can make a Tamura, they can generate a copy. And if you do it, with Tamuras and Kayetziman, they have the same halacha as the original. So that clarifies that matter. Here comes another question posed by Rami Bar Chama. Boy Rami Bar Chama. Suppose the farmer gave the Bechor to the Kohen, as he's supposed to. And the Bechor got a mum. So he can technically just sit down and have it for a meal, right? He decided to be a generous fellow and donated to the Beis HaMikdash, to the building fund. And the question is, he's going to try to sell the meat to generate, a proper return to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. Would that allow us to give him some slack, some leeway? Typically, a Bechor will not be sold commercially on a scale, etc. But perhaps in this case, it's different, since who's out to gain? The Beis HaMikdash, the Hekdesh. So perhaps it pays. It justifies to sort of sacrifice somewhat the dignity, the honor of the Bechor and sell him as a regular piece of meat in order to generate a greater, income. Because if you sell it on the scale, you use a scale, you do it, precisely, and you get, properly paid, proper value, proper return, perhaps even in the marketplace, not clear in the Gemara, perhaps that would also be allowed. Right? For the sake of a higher cause. Maybe that justifies. Hitfis Bechor l'Bedek HaBayis. If the Kohen donated the Bechor to Bedek HaBayis, the question is, Mao Shishka Belitra? Can you now sell it using a litra to generate more income? Shall we say Rav Chada Hekdesh Adif? The potential monetary gain for Hekdesh is an overriding factor. Or no? You have no right to sacrifice the dignity of the Bechor. Zilusa the Bechor Adif. Zilusa the disrespect of mishandling the Bechor is a stronger factor. Which way? Amar of Yaisi Bar Zvida. It seems to me the answer is no. And the Raya is from none other than our Mishnah. That's how it comes into this discussion here. Toshmai, listen to our Mishnah, which speaks about my oila getting mixed up with your Bechor. This Arv of a Bechor of a Maser, what happens? Right? You let it pasture, like we explained. Yirachi Yistavu, V'yoichlik Bechor K'maser. So you let it pasture, get a mum. And then two things happen. Number one, I have to get all those some money. and transfer the Kedusha from that blemished Oila onto this money and buy a replacement Oila. Now, how much am I going to spend on the Oila? Assumingly, as much money as I'll get by selling the blemished animal in there, right? Right? Now, the more I can get from selling it, the more I'll use to buy a replacement. Does the Mishnah allow it? No. Mishnah says, since there's a Bechor and Maser mixed in there, which doesn't allow for commercial sellings, I'm stuck. I have to sell it, you know, domestically, discreetly, maybe even inaccurately, without a proper scale, and not make as much money on it, which actually will deprive the Hegdish, the Beis Hamikdash, of a more expensive carbon. I'm only going to spend as much as I'm going to get back from my blemished Oila. And since he's mixed in with a Bechor or Maser, which doesn't allow for commercial sale, they're all going to be fetching a lower price. There you go. Apparently you can't sacrifice the dignity of the Bechor or Maser even in order to achieve a higher income for the Hegdish. Toshman, this Aravu, Bechor v'maser, you Rashi yistavu, v'yachol k'bechor v'maser. The whole group has to be eaten like a bechor v'maser, which means to say, in the same manner that you eat a bechor v'maser, which means you can't sell it in the market. Lavel member, apparently it means to say, the einu nishka b'litra, you can't sell it over there with the litra. So you can't sacrifice, even for the sake of a potential higher income. Likewise, in our case, whether the kohen donated his bechor, You can't mishandle him to generate greater income for the Hegdish. Well, said the Gemara, how could you compare the two scenarios? Rav Huna of Rabbi Chizkiah, who were Talmidei de Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amri, they responded, they objected to this comparison. How do you compare the two stories? Sure, in the Mishnah's case, you can't do it. You know why? Because you're suggesting that I should sacrifice the dignity of one animal to benefit the other animal? That you won't do. But here we're talking about one and the same animal. Hasam, the case of the Mishnah, Midami Hasam Shtei Kedushes or Shnei Gufim, we're talking about two different animals, two Kedushes. The idea would be to sacrifice the honor of the Bechor, which is a different animal, different Kedusha, to benefit the Oila, the replacement Oila, which is a different animal, different Kedusha. Of course you don't do that. Hacha, but in our case of the Kain with his single Bechor, who's just trying to make some more money for Bedek Abayis from this actual animal itself. It's in the same family, it's in the same entity. Perhaps he could mishandle him to generate a greater Hegdish income from this animal itself. That's a proper, you know. Application of this animal's Kedusha. Right? It's a realization of its Kedusha in the most beneficial, effective way. Maybe you can do that. Hacha, but now a story, Shtei Kedusha, v'gevechad. It's the same animal, the same entity. Perhaps it would justify to somewhat sacrifice the Kedushas HaBachar to enhance the ultimate, to generate a greater income from this animal for Bedek HaBayas. Maskefla Rabbi Yosi Bar Abin. Of course not. Look, why would you even think? Why would you even consider this? Ma'ilu Amar. Imagine a kohen would say, you know what? Basically what you're saying is that you can sacrifice one thing for a higher cause. Ma'ilu Amar Hiftuli Bechor Shetfisa Bedek HaBayis. Klum Shemin Lo. Imagine the kohen would say, you know what? Different. Just picture it. He would take a Bechor. He says, you know, as a mum, go redeem it for me. Switch it with money and use the money for Bedek HaBayis. A higher cause. It's a non-starter. Klum Shemili, who would listen to him? To violate a Torah prohibition, which doesn't allow redemption of Bechor. So the higher cause doesn't justify, the end doesn't justify the means. So why would you consider allowing the Kayan to sell the Bechor of a Litra to make more money, violating a transgression? Just because it's a higher cause? Why would that? Well, says the Gemara, what do you mean to ask Hiftu? Go redeem it? Rahman Amalei said, the Pasuk says you can't redeem it. That's a gross violation of a Torah prohibition. It's a non-starter. But here we're speaking about selling him in a litra using a scale. That's Midrabbanan. So perhaps they would suspend that for the sake of a higher course. Elam Rav Ami. Oh, says Rav Ami. Let me explain to you why it doesn't work. What's he trying to do? He's attempting to be magdish his bechor, and attempting to garner the highest level of income by selling it in a manner which will generate as such. Klum hiknaze elam ashakonaloi. Wouldn't you agree that he can only give away what he received? He can't give more than he got. He got a bechor, the kohen did, right? Which is meant to be consumed in this manner. Just because he was magdashit, he can't give away more than he got. His ownership in this bechor is limited. I must follow these specific, prescribed guidelines. Consumed domestically, under the radar, right? Sold, informally. He doesn't have more in the. He doesn't have a higher a level of ownership within this animal to be able to give it away. So his giving away, his donation is limited. To what he's meant to take from it. So he can't mishandle it and earn more money. That extra money is not even his to give away. He didn't give that pot away. It never was his to give away. The Shittim Gebetzah says, his das, the mindset of a person is, whatever I have, I'm giving away. He knows that he can't. He's not supposed to be mishandling the Bukhar, even to generate greater income. So that extra pot was never part of the Hegdish commitment. And, it's not part of his Hegdish. And certainly that wouldn't be allowed. Interesting. Hakoy Yochoyl is Arif, one more piece. Mishnah concludes. Basically, any carbon, due to its, any two carbonates can get mixed up due to their sometimes similar physical properties, except for a chatos, which is strictly female, and an osham, which is strictly a male ram, you can always tell them apart. Why is a chatos v'osham never going to be mixed up? Because the osham is always zohar, and the chatos nekeva. Okay, then chatos v'ola nami. Same with chatos and oila. Chatos is always nekeva and oila zohar. So those two can't either get mixed up. The answer is ika sir nasi. There's a type of chatas which can be a zachar, the goat that a nasi brings upon sinning. So sometimes you can have chatas and oila both being zachar and getting mixed up with each other. Ask the Gemara, okay, so then chatas and asham, you say they can't get mixed up. Well, sure they could. If the chatas is the soyer nasi, that's a zachar. So that's similar to the asham, which is a zachar. The answer is seir of haitzemer. But in terms of appearance, they're clearly different because the soyer is a goat, which is hairy, straight hair, and the ayil is a ram, which is tzemer, which is wool. So there's no mix up there. Ask the Gemara, okay, well, Pesach v'asham namilu ma'ariv. A carbon Pesach, which is meant to be a young sheep within the first year of birth, will never get mixed in with an asham, although it's also a sheep, but it's an older sheep, it's a ram. Hai ben shanav, hai ben shtei shanav, this is a year, this is 2 years. Ika asham nazir, v'asham etzer, there are different variations of asham, which are also meant to be young. Yibo Yisem, another answer, ika ben shana, you say this is young, this is old, sometimes young looks like old, and old looks like young, right? Ika ben shana, you can have 1 year old, the mixa ben shtei shana looks like a 2 year old, ika ben shtei shtayim, you have a 2 year old, the mixa ben shana looks like 1 year, so certainly there's room for mix-ups in those cases. Okay, so again, we had a mix-up of two karbanis, both the same types. If they're karban noshim, which doesn't require smicha, go ahead and be makriv them. If they belong to anoshim, then there's no choice other than getting them blemished and redeeming and transferring and buying anew. Blood that got mixed up, put them on the mizbeach together, according to Rebbe, assuring there's enough to cover both karbanis. We discussed the aloha of a tmura of a bukhar, which has the same alohas of a bukhar itself. We concluded that the kohen cannot mishandle the bukhar to generate more income. It's not even part of his kamin, part of his hegdish. Typically, various karbanis could get mixed up, except for the chatas v'asham, due to their physical disparities. All the best to you and atzlacha.